Well, if you got a device, you can go ahead and open it now and make sure it's on silent. And we're going to go to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading verse 1 through 6. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall turn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him at Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I ask for a blessing on the word of the Lord today. Outstanding. As I said earlier, I started off with here. You're like, that means nothing to me. I know. And I ended up over here. So I'm going to read some of this here because it's a forerunner to this. The book of Malachi is the final prophet of the minor prophets. There are 12 minor prophets in the Bible there. The last book of the minor prophet, which is actually the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi writes to a generation of people whose hearts have become callous towards the things of God. As a matter of fact, they become unconcerned, they become disinterested, disengaged, indifferent to all things of God. They are uninterested in godly things. Throughout the course of Malachi's writing, he is challenging this generation of people to be concerned of things of God. God's temple has already been built. At this time, the temple's there. He doesn't say they're not going to church. They're coming to the temple and they're worshiping. The problem is when they leave church, they're paying no attention to the message that they've been given. Their actions and their lives are not showing the fruits that they possess. Now you have a whole generation that's been doing this, and now that generation who hasn't been focusing on their church and their learning, they're seeing their children walking down the same path that they were walking on. And that's where we end the Old Testament. God's emphatic declaration, the day of judgment is coming. It'll be a day of fiery judgment will burn like the furnace. It will consume the arrogant and the wicked. It will set them on fire and will totally consume them. And we see this in verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and the proud and all that do wickedly shall stumble. Do we know a proud Christian? I do. Somebody who's kind of too good for everybody. I always kind of question their thoughts when I see somebody like that, because they're quick to point sin out in other people's lives. And it happens. We all know somebody who thinks they're too good for church. I'm not going to church because that's where all those hypocrites are at. Hear it every day, every single day. We all got a fan. I got a fan. My fan likes to point sin out in my life. My fan likes to point out when I get angry. My fan likes to point, hey, you drove too slow when you did this. And I'm like, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Yeah, love you. God's promise is for all who fear him. Verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise from healing in his wings, and shall go forth and grow as calves into stalls. I don't know about your Bibles, but my Bible, that's a capital S. God. God's promise is for all who fear him. The Son of Righteousness, Christ, will come to heal all people and make them righteousness. The Jewish people, they had such an issue with Jesus because of the end of Malachi, because of how this ended. They're looking for a conqueror and a savior. They missed the savior part. They missed the conqueror part. They were looking for God to come in and just clean house immediately. They didn't understand that's what he did on that cross for us. And when he walked out of that tomb, that's what he did for us. But when Jesus comes back, he's not going to be the lovey-dovey, hello, how are you, always love. No, he's coming to clean house. He's coming for judgment. Not the lovey-dovey guy we see in other churches. No. When Jesus comes back, he's coming to clean house. He's going to conquer and he's going to trample all wicked. Verse 3, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under your soles of your feet. In that day I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. He's going to conquer and trample all his enemies. God's demand in this passage, remember and obey his holy word, the law and decree of Moses. I find it very interesting that this is the last verse in the last passage of the Old Testament before there was 500 years of silence. The people at this time didn't know there was going to be 500 years of silence. They had no idea. But what's the last thing that God says for us to do? Follow his commandments. Go to church. Let people see the fruit of your labor flow out of you. God's promise and warning to all, I will send the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord to reconcile the families of the earth. In these six short verses conclude the great book of Malachi. Under close observation reveals a significant fact. These verses present the chief points of the gospel. This may be only a sketch, but the basic outline is there. I always love this because as a preacher, I get the speak about Jesus. And this is a passage where if you look at it close enough, you'll see Jesus. The fact in sin is seen as judgment of the wicked in verse 1. The warning of the final judgment against the wicked, also in verse 1. The promise of salvation offered to those who revere the fear of the Lord, the first part of verse 2. The promise of Messiah who heals and brings joy, the second part of verse 2. The promise of the Messiah who comes to deliver and strengthen, verse 3. The exhortation to remember and obey God's holy word, the law of Moses. And there's a promise of peace and reconciliation, verse 6. We've said before, if you haven't, I repeat myself a lot. If not, I'll say it again. The Old Testament, back in the day, wasn't called the Old Testament. It was actually called the Law and the Prophets. Because that's how the book was divided, between the law and the prophets. That's how the Jewish people have it divided. So under the book of the law, the prophets, the last words that God says is to follow my word. These verses present a fundamental truth. The Messiah will come for two distinct purposes. He already came to save. Next time he's going to come to judge. There's a vital distinction that is often overlooked or denied, even to this day. I said earlier, that's why the Jewish people had such a problem with Christ, the way he came. They didn't get it. They didn't understand that he had to be a sacrifice first for our sin. But when he comes back, he's coming to clean house. And you better be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're on the wrong side of eternity. The Messiah will be the judge of all the wicked and unrepentant. Those who arrogantly reject the Messiah, all evildoers, who refuse to repent will be destroyed, burned up completely like stubble for eternity. You're not going to get burned up and disappear. That's not what's going to happen. It's going to be a forever. It is critical that every person understand the two purposes of the Messiah's coming. Jesus was offered up for our salvation and for our healing. However, those who reject him will have no fear of the Lord. They will come in judgment. He's going to come in judgment. Indeed, the same righteousness offered to those who fear the Lord will be a consuming fire to all who reject him. Anybody see a movie called Passion of the Christ? Three of us. I doubt that. There's probably more of you. You need to look at the actor's testimony who played Jesus. I can't say his last name. Jim something. Go to YouTube or wherever, the internet, and look up his testimony. and read his and read or watch the video of his testimony. It's powerful. One point that he says that always sticks with me, that if you're alive and you're like, oh, I'm on the fence with Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to do, I haven't got it all figured out yet, you made your choice. And he says it like this: people that sit on the fence, their answer is no. Because there's two answers, yes or no. And if you haven't said yes, you're a no. Everybody in here was born to go to hell. Every single one of us. God put us on a pathway so we can once again have fellowship with him through the atoning sacrifice of his son. And that's it. And if you don't accept it while you're alive, your answer was no. Those who reject Jesus have no fear of the Lord. He will come in judgment indeed. And the righteous who have actually feared him, they're going to survive. This is incredibly sobering, that the day of the Lord is happening. So we need to be prepared. God's promise is for all who fear him. Not fear like, oh, I'm in trouble. I got to rephrase that. Not fear like I'm scared. But I said before that the worst thing that my mother could ever tell me was wait till your father finds out. When daddy gets home, you're in trouble. And I know that's a fact. That's 100% a fact. It wasn't a fear for my life, but it got very serious when that phrase was used. And in my opinion, that's the problem with this generation right now. There's no fear of the Lord. 75 to 80% of people in prison did not live with their father, did not have a father figure in their life. No fear of the Lord. None whatsoever. So that's the problem with society. Because if there's no fear of the Lord, you can just do whatever you want to do, right? Yeah. The judgment is coming, and it's terrible and fierce, the day of wrath. And when it comes, it will burn like an oven. And the wicked will be totally consumed for eternity. God has established his law on earth and has given it to the human race. His perfect instructions, the guiding principles to teach every individual how to live. There is therefore no excuse for living apart from his holy word. God charges us to remember his word. Must be vital concerned, not just for every believer, but anyone who seeks God and salvation. Failure to remember or to heed God's word is equal to not fearing his name. And failure to fear God's name as well. His demand is for us to remember his word and be holy. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto you in Horeb for all of Israel, with his statutes and judgments, that the promises of God are conditional. We always say, hey, how come we're not getting blessed? How come we're not getting this? We're not living holy. We're not following the commandments. We're doing bad things behind everybody's back, including ourselves. We must remember his commandments and obey his holy word. Not for salvation. Only one thing brings us to salvation. Apart from obedience, the people will be doomed. They'll be doomed to destruction, doomed to everlasting judgment with the wicked and the arrogant. Therefore, it is critical that we read and we study the Bible. We read, we study, and if we have an opportunity, we teach the Bible. We teach it to those who need it so we can share God's word. They must never forget God's holy word, but rather remember it and live by it. The Lord has given us a clear warning and the warning of judgment. With the warning of judgment comes the promise of salvation. The promise of salvation is only authored through Jesus Christ. We're 100% sure that judgment is coming, but he gave us a way out of it, his son's blood on that cross. And all we have to do is believe. That's it. Believe. The person who trusts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior need not fear the judgment. I met a guy the other day. He's dying. He knows this. He's been given a critical death sentence. Walk in and I talk to him. He tells me, Well, as long as not present at the throne, at the great throne judgment. I will be judged by Christ. Everybody knows this. We're going to be judged by what we were giving. To much has been given, much is going to be required. And I'm always critical of Americans. Because in America, we're blessed beyond belief. We got a Bible. There's countries, they don't have a Bible. They're sneaking Bibles in there. They're taking Bibles and ripping them up and hiding the chapters and switching them at the dark cover of darkness. In America, we're blessed. We're streaming on the internet right now, right? We're on the internet preaching openly. We are blessed beyond belief, and we don't realize it. If you want to see not blessed beyond belief, go to another country. Go to a third world country. And then you'll see the difference immediately. So if you're born in America and you've heard the gospel, you don't have an excuse not following Christ. Malachi prophesies another prophet will come, Elijah, a messenger from the Lord himself. This picture is of peace and of healing. Elijah came in the form of John the Baptist, who paved the way for Christ's coming. We all know this, right? Of course. He will send the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord to reconcile the family of this earth. The spirit of Elijah came through John the Baptist. But if you look at the text, it almost seems like he's not finished. This is not biblical. This is my opinion. Now, we know if you read the book of Revelation, there's going to be two witnesses coming. And the way I look at this scripture, they're telling me one of them is going to be Elijah. Because before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, Elijah is going to come. Now, we know he came in through the John the Baptist, absolutely. But if you keep looking at this, if I have to make a wager of who it's going to be, who one of them is going to be, Elijah is going to be right there at the top of my list. And I think this passage backs me up a little bit. Even though people argue back and forth of who it's going to be. The only part lacking is the coming of the final judgment, and it will surely come. The message of reconciliation has now come to the earth through Christ. For more than 2,000 years, we've had a pathway to salvation. In light of the grave consequences for rejecting Christ, every individual needs to honestly examine his or her own soul to determine where he stands in Christ. Apart from obedience to God's word, there is no escape from judgment. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, clearly required by God's word, there is no hope in reconciliation. Apart from reconciliation, there is no hope of salvation. We're doomed. You're doomed to judgment for eternity. And I'll close here by saying this. The judgment of sin and sinners is absolutely certain. The day of judgment will come. However, on the other side, we've been given salvation through Christ as a way to escape that. And it can be attained. God's word teaches that a person can be saved and delivered from the judgment by simply calling out his name. Just say it. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. This plea requires sincerity and a commitment to walk with Christ. Christ provides us with our need, and in him, not ourselves, we have strength and diligence required to follow him. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. His ability and his ability alone will save us and preserve us and keep us. Can I be stand if you're able? Father, thank you for letting us come together and study your word, Father. Father, we're so grateful for the people who you brought into this house of the world, house of the Lord, and we're grateful for the people that are viewing us, past, present, or future, Father. Father, we understand that the word of God will never return void. And let us always keep that in our mind. And I say this in your son's name. Amen.